Channel Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Who Cares Wins Radio on channelradio.co.uk. It's Monday, it's the 10th of June, and I'm afraid Angela has a fit of the giggles, so we're starting very well. My name's Jan Monaghan, and with me today in the studio is my fellow presenter, Angela, who I don't think can speak.
I'm trying to get my earphones sorted out, listener. I will be with you shortly.
Okay, and I'm afraid we're not the Musketeers this week. We're only two, because our good friend Sue Parker can't be with us today. She's attending a funeral. So her thoughts to you, Sue,
and to everybody
in your situation today. Our special guest today, we have with us in the studio, Florence Perreault.
Yay!
Hello, Florence.
Hello.
Florence is the founding director of the Sophrology Academy. She's a sophrology practitioner and a life coach. And today, Florence will tell us all about this fascinating life balancing technique, sophrology, and how it works, and in particular, how it works with overworking, burnout, and insomnia. And she'll also be telling us about various courses on offer, and in particular, the UK's first sophrology practitioner's course, which she runs. So welcome, Florence.
Thank you.
I think probably we need to start. I think sophrology is a new word for a lot of people.
I'm glad to see that you've mastered it.
I've mastered it. I don't know if you heard last week.
Rolls off the tongue.
You're saying it very well.
Last week, Florence, it was a bit, teeth and lips were not
connected.
But I've got it cracked now. I've had a week to practice. It's sophrology.
So are you known as a sophrologist?
Absolutely. Yeah. Very well said as well.
Oh, thank you very much.
So maybe you could tell us a bit about how you got into sophrology, what sophrology is.
Yeah, probably the easiest is to start with what sophrology is, because probably our listeners are wondering what that thing is. It is fairly new to the UK as a technique, but it's been around the rest of Europe for more than 50 years now, and it's widely popular in France, in Switzerland, Belgium and Spain. Basically stems from techniques like yoga and meditation, relaxation, hypnotherapy. The idea is putting all this knowledge together in a technique that is easy and accessible to all. So we have a bunch of techniques like breathing exercises, guided relaxations, small movements as well. And all that is meant for several things. You mentioned stress management and burnout and insomnia, but it's also used in France, for instance, by midwives for prenatal preparation. Okay. It's also used in sports as a mental preparation technique or for the stage. It's also used in schools for children and teachers. So it has many, many different areas of interest, and the basic idea, I suppose, is that is to try and bring very easy techniques to people so that they can do them, even if they're not really into, I don't know, sitting cross-legged for 20 minutes every day, for instance.
Right.
No. I don't sit cross-legged. I'd love to be
for instance.
Able to.
Not so flexible.
Have you seen my legs?
And how did I get into it? Well, I discovered sophrology 20 years ago because just like you then, I had no idea what it was, although I was living in France. And I was in burnout. And my GP there was very clever in mentioning to me that this could be the technique I needed. So I did go to a sophrologist or sophrology practitioner. And it was fantastic because she helped me not only learn how to relax and not panic and manage my stress better, but also as I was burnt out, I wasn't really so much in need of relaxation as in need of a boost in energy. And it really helped me there as well, because it's really a balancing technique rather than a relaxation technique. And I was able to rebuild myself, really, quite dramatically. So that's how I became a convert, you could say.
Excellent. Are you a zealot convert? Are there different varieties of sophrology?
Varieties? Well, as I mentioned, you can use it for different things.
Right.
So definitely you would get, I don't know, sports coaches interested in only the sort of mental preparation side, or you would get doctors and midwives interested on prenatal or in pain management, for instance. But then, I mean, sophrology was invented, as I said, a bit more than 50 years ago by a Spanish neuropsychiatrist. So over the years, it has evolved a little bit. He has obviously made it evolve himself, but other people have also chosen to take it in, on a slightly different route. So you have different schools in Switzerland and Belgium, in France, etc., etc. But it's... I mean, most of it is fairly much mainstream, if I could say. Okay.
So if thinking of the sort of practices that are available in the UK at the moment, is there something that you would say it's pretty much close to that, but...?
I would say the nearest to it at the moment in the UK is mindfulness.
Right.
Definitely. Because we definitely work in the same direction.
Mm. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Very, very much. And we... more or less work with the same kind of people, unless we really go into the very, very, very specialised things.
Bashing my microphone, sorry.
And the only difference I would say is that in mindfulness, what is usually done is that you would practice yoga, as in, okay, this is yoga, and meditation, as in traditional meditation. Whereas in sophrology, we have taken the method, if you want, but we have changed it.
Right.
We're not using it as it was created originally. I think that would be the main difference, really.
Okay. Wow.
And if somebody's new to sophrology, what might they expect? Is it a one-to-one session? Is it a group session?
It can be either.
Okay.
It can be one-to-one, can be group. I often say we are more teachers than therapists,
right,
really, insofar as we really try to pass on techniques and exercises that people can then do on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's also the guided, we could call it guided relaxation or guided meditation part that they cannot really do without us, unless, of course, we record it, etc.
Yeah.
But the breathing, the movements, the little tips and tricks, mm-hmm, you could definitely do on your own.
Right.
So one-to-one, usually 1 hour session, same with the group. You'd go to one-to-one if you want to tackle a particular problem, like maybe insomnia or panic attacks or burnout, for instance. And a group session would probably be more of a general well-being thing, like you would go to a yoga class, maybe. Mm.
Okay. And sophrology suitable for everybody? Or are there circumstances,
yes,
where you'd say maybe not?
I would say pretty much everybody, unless obviously we're looking maybe at some mental disabilities.
Right.
But otherwise, that's the main idea, is that it is suitable for everybody. If need be, we can adapt the exercises. A former student of mine is now working at Cambridge Hospital,
mm-hmm,
with Alzheimer patients.
Okay.
And she's doing an amazing job, although they're in their beds, they can't really move much, so all the movements, well, actually she still manages to help them do little things, because it is a pretty much a mind and body,
right,
technique, and getting extraordinary results, so definitely for everyone.
Excellent. And is there a lower range? Would you say that a child has to be at a certain age to...
Yes, I mean, toddlers definitely would be difficult.
Right.
They're difficult all the time, aren't they?
Yes.
Probably. That would be, yeah, I suppose it would be the same thing.
So, for example, when you said in France, it's in schools. So
it's in schools, even in primary schools.
Right.
So from, you know, 6, 7, not a problem at all. There's actually a specific type of sophrology adapted to children. We have some specific exercises for them.
Excellent.
Actually, when we use them for adults, they love it. But
yes,
let free.
Jumping around.
Child from within. Excellent. I'll be there. So you were saying with the children, is it a specific, it's built into their curriculum, or is it something that's just introduced and some schools are taking it up and others aren't?
Yeah, it's introduced in some schools.
Right.
Some primary schools, some secondary schools. Either in primary school, it's sometimes because the teachers have been trained as sophrologists,
right,
that they would do it. Or maybe the school is particularly interested in it, so they would bring in a sophrologist.
Right.
And in primary schools, they may use it even as a preparation for some, I don't know, little drama things they're putting on, or just to help them calm down and focus.
Mm-hmm.
And in secondary school, it's mainly used to prepare for exams like GCSEs or A-levels.
Right. So again, like the mindfulness you were saying.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. In schools, exactly.
Great stuff. GCSEs and A-levels, bless you.
Well, there's the English.
They don't do that anymore, do they?
It's exams. They still do. My daughter is actually sitting one right at this minute.
Oh, good luck. What's your daughter's name?
Camille.
Good luck, Camille.
Breathe. Yes. Think.
She's ready.
Excellent.
Good on her. Go for it.
So you said you were introduced to it by your GP because you had burnout at the time, but you obviously fell in love with it, still practice it.
In France.
Yes, I was in France at that time. Yes.
If we were to take it away from you, what would that make you feel? How big well, a part of your life is it now?
I don't think you could, because it's so much ingrained in me. It's a way of life now. I mean, I you know, breathe, live and sleep sophrology, I suppose.
Just dreaming.
Okay, well, that's good, because that's obviously something that it's really taken on board for you, and it means so much to you.
Absolutely.
So you said, coming back to your colleague that's with the Cambridge Hospital and the dementia patients, right, and say, I think you mentioned that you do some, that people who come to class are taught and then they take away and do exercises during the week ahead of the next session or whatever.
Yes.
Obviously, with somebody with dementia, they may forget
Absolutely.
So is it just that the impact takes longer to happen, or is a shorter lived impact because they're not practicing in between?
I wouldn't want to talk for her, because she would be able to explain it better. But yes, definitely would be the impact of the session itself would obviously, in their case, be the most important part, definitely. Okay.
So it's a bit like having physio, and the physio says, go away and practice this. Mm. And you go back the following week and you haven't.
Do you said about guided meditations or guided practices.
Yes.
So do they take away some of those, as you say?
They can. I mean, not all sophrologists work in the same way.
Okay.
Some actually record the session and you can take the recording with you at home.
Right.
I personally don't do it unless it's a very particular reason for it. Because I prefer giving exercises that people are able to do by themselves, completely by themselves.
Yeah.
Even if, I don't know, if they're stuck in traffic or, you know, in everyday life situations, they're better able to cope by themselves. So that's usually how I work.
Right.
Okay. And is there a particular duration? So if, let's say, your GP, and obviously I know we're talking about in France, because it works slightly differently. And over here, I will probably come to that about how we're trying to encourage GPs here to do that.
Yes.
But we'll just pause with that one. So is there a recommendation that you go and you're referred and you have so many sessions, or it's over so many months?
There's no particular length of time, because it really varies from one person to the other.
Okay.
But I would say on average for, I'd say, 90% of people, it's between 5 and 10 sessions.
All right.
So it's fairly short. It can be very, very short, and can be much longer than that, but it's very rare.
And are we going to explore perhaps a practice, for example, later?
Yes.
Why not? I could give you a few tips, yes.
Excellent. So we'll try that.
Excellent.
We're going to have a bit of music in a moment, but just before
sing.
We do.
I can sing. No, I can't sing. It's just the look. Do you see the look she gives me, Florence, dear? No singing.
I'm going to ask the question. Florence, from France, introduces sophrology in France. Practicing in the UK. Did sophrology bring you here to spread the word? Did you come here and think, there's no sophrology, I need to let people know? What brought you to the UK?
Love of England brought me to the UK.
Oh, perfect answer.
She can come on again.
She can.
And of course, hi, especially. I'm New Rondy.
Then I'm Canterbury, I'm sorry.
It's going so well.
It was going so well. I think at that point we'll go for the track and we'll expand on that in a little moment. Stay with us, folks. See you in a bit.
I'm going to sing anyway. I'm going to sing.
Don't
Channel Radio. And welcome back to Who Cares Wins, hey. And to our special guest, Florence Perrot.
Hello, don't
Florence.
Look back, look forward. Yes.
Look forward. So we put you on the spot before the break, yeah. And asked you what brought you to the UK.
It's all right, listener, we've now persuaded her Hythe is the best place to be.
So what we wanted to know is a bit about your practice, mm-hmm. And also beforehand we were talking about GP practices and inroads to that. But firstly, what brought you to the UK was love of England, but then you decided to set up your practice.
Absolutely. Well, I had a practice in Paris.
Paris.
Yes, I know, and everybody asked me why from Paris to Kent, but actually Kent rocks. And I wanted to do the same thing here. So before I moved, obviously, I had a look at what was possible. So that's when I discovered there were, at that time, so that's 3.5 years ago, nearly 4 years now, there were 5 sophrologists in total in the whole of the UK, all French, I'm afraid. And I thought, oh, that's exciting, a lot to be done here. So that's when I started first my practice, and then 6 months later, I opened the school.
And the school, we're going to talk about qualifications little bit later, so we'll come back to that one. And you were asking about GPs, Angela.
Yeah, so just picking up on that point that you made earlier with regards to your GP in France referred you on, based on the treatment that he felt you would benefit from. Mm-hmm. Are there inroads into the GPs in England? Have we got any GPs who are opening their eyes to, I'm not saying alternatives, but other options for patients, and therefore the referrals are going through to sophrology?
Some are, so obviously still very, very small. Although we do have about 25 sophrologists in the UK now.
So in 3 years, so it's gone from 5 to 25.
Exactly.
So is that all down to you?
Well, yeah. Most of it, but not all. Most of it, yes. And I know that in Lincolnshire, one of my former student has actually been talking to several surgeries, and a couple of GPs have started referring patients to her, mainly, I believe, around depression and stress.
Good. Okay. Good, good. So presumably then we might be able to start seeing some research.
Yes, well, there is some research, obviously, in France and on the continent, but the idea is we want to promote more research in the UK. It will take time, but it's an interesting road to go on, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
So if there's any Kent practitioners out there listening in, or anyone that knows some Kent practitioners or links in that can say, well, in Lincolnshire they're doing it, so how about Kent?
Absolutely. Yeah. Wave the flag.
Get on the map.
So, 3 topics that we mentioned while we were introducing you were overworking, burnout, and insomnia.
Yes.
Now, I link overworking with burnout quite a lot, and obviously insomnia can either follow or precede those issues. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit more about how sophrology can help, and if it's practical, whether you can give us a couple of tips that a listener might be able to use for themselves.
Well, it can help. And just for insomnia, for instance, I would like to mention that.
Isn't that lovely? I love she says that. Say it again.
Insomnia.
Insomnia. So polite.
We'll just let Florence talk and listen to her accent.
Yeah. I'm asleep now.
That's a trick, that's isn't a trick, it? It's my voice. No, seriously. In France, for insomnia, you have several hospitals that have sleep clinics. Okay. And in all those sleep clinics, there is at least one sophrologist.
Right.
And patients who are received within the hospital for the sleep clinic actually go through a series of 5 group sessions for sophrology to help with the rest of the treatment. It's quite interesting. But for whether it's stress, whether it's burnout, whether it's sleep, I mean, the idea is to more or less help people along the road of how can I put it? It's nearly, I don't like that word, but nearly reprogramming in a way, sort of changing the habits that we have and the way our body and mind react. Because someone who can't sleep at night, for instance, will worry about it. The more you worry about it, the less you can sleep, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, even if the cause of insomnia is not there any longer, well, in nearly all cases, it's really hard to go back to sleeping properly because your body has got used to not sleeping.
It's that new pattern that's adopted.
Exactly. So we try to put in place new patterns in a very gentle way. I mean, it's really very respectful of the person, of where they're at and what they can do. I remember one client coming to me and saying, oh, I don't want to do any breathing stuff. It's not my thing. Well, fine. we did some movements, we did some visualization, we used other techniques. We have so much at our disposal that we can really pick and choose what's best for the person. Now, if you want me to give a few tips, because yes, sophrology, as I said, it's very, very practical. We don't look at the why, we just look at, okay, where you're at the moment and what do you need. Right. So, for instance, someone who could not sleep and was very worried at night, for instance. So a couple of very short things I can give you. Obviously, I can't, you know, I can't do a whole, I don't know, five session here. But yes, I know, disappointing, isn't it? A couple of short exercises I can explain which are beneficial to do at night if you can't sleep or if you can't go back to sleep. The first one is a breathing exercise. You breathe in, you breathe out, and you wait for a little bit before you breathe in again. You do it in a very gentle way, in a way that's comfortable for you. And you count it in your head. So, for instance, 1, 2, 3, I breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, I breathe out. 1, 2, I wait until I breathe in again. And the counting actually helps in several ways. It makes it more regular. Mm-hmm. So it's efficient sooner. And also it keeps your mind busy because you're thinking about breathing in a very particular way, which is calming. And you are counting it. So it's really hard to find a brain that can actually do one more thing at the same time. I've found it, but it's really, really, really rare. So it will calm down the whole body. Now, the other one is a very interesting one, especially if you're very anxious. Basically, you breathe in and you gently tense all your muscles, obviously. Our listeners can't see me, but I'm doing it.
She's making a fist with her hands. So if you're out there listening and you want to join in, then make fists with your hands and squeeze your hands tightly. Yes.
And gently.
And gently.
And then you breathe out, you let go of all your muscles. It has to be gentle. Okay. Don't want to overdo it, because then if you feel slightly more tense afterwards, it means you've done it too strongly.
Okay.
But the idea is, by tensing gently, then when you relax, you actually relax more. It's an automatic reaction of the body. So you're using that because the mind cannot help with shutting down.
Right.
So we're using the body to help the mind and do it that way. So you can do that 3 times. And usually, at the very least, you will notice a calming down.
Now, I have a question. Everybody who talks about breathing, I ask this question. Are we breathing in through the mouth and out through the nose, in through the nose, out through the mouth? It doesn't matter.
It's a very good question. In sophrology, we always breathe in through the nose.
Right.
And we breathe out through the nose or through the mouth as you like.
Okay. So I'm fascinated now, because each practitioner we're talking to is coming up with a different answer.
Yeah,
fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Yes,
she was.
Yeah,
there's so much you can do with breathing. It's really a really essential technique. I think in sophrology we've tried as much as possible to keep it as simple as possible and as comfortable and natural. Same thing when we are standing up to do small exercises. There's one stress management exercise, for instance, when we stand up and we breathe in and we shake our shoulders up and down, holding our breath, and then we breathe out and we let them. It's really funny, but it works. And we don't have a particular way of standing up, which is, you know, stand in a position that is comfortable for us.
Yeah.
You don't have to put your feet in a certain position, etc. Because what we're trying to do is really make people comfortable, aware of their body, aware of how they feel like. And that's a really essential thing in sophrology.
Mm.
Each time we do even a very short exercise like that, even, you know, breathing in out 3 times, then we take even a few seconds to listen to how we are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so that step by step, we tend to be more in touch with ourselves and know when we are about to, I don't know, go into a panic attack or if we're not feeling well. So we can react sooner and use a technique that will help us not get there.
Mm-hmm.
Same time, when we're feeling good, we feel even better.
I like that.
So for overworking and burnout, somebody may be experiencing that but may not be associating anxiety with
that. Yes, absolutely.
Or may not feel they have insomnia.
Absolutely.
So I'm guessing there are other techniques that you would then introduce.
Yes. Yes.
If somebody is overworking, has burnout but doesn't recognize it, somebody else may encourage them to seek some guidance from a sophrologist. Mm-hmm. Does somebody need to be in a certain acceptance frame of mind to begin with, or can you work with somebody who doesn't really know why they're there?
I think they need to be at the very least willing to try it,
okay,
to see, you know, what it is and, mm-hmm, and how that would work. If they're being sent by someone and come in kicking and screaming, it's not much. Obviously, I think it's the same for every... it's the same for every therapy. There's not that much you can do.
Right.
But apart from that, it's really worth trying. And then you see. It's really... I always tell the people in front of me, you will know. You will know whether that's working for you. You will know what's right for you.
And I noticed on your sort of link to this topic, on your website, you have workplace sophrology.
Yes.
How might that differ from general sophrology?
Well, as I said, sophrology can be used in many, many different areas. In the workplace, we usually are called in for stress management, for, yes, burnout prevention, more and more, fortunately. Mm-hmm. General well-being, and even sleep issues, because if you have staff who are not sleeping well, then production and you know, efficiency are really, really altered, and you can really notice it in the quality of work. So it can be interesting, even as prevention as well, mm-hmm, to get there and do something. So it's usually trainings that can be, it varies a lot. It can be 1 hour training, it can be half a day, it can be one day, it can be, you know, we adapt to the needs of the company, basically.
Right. And generally groups and teams or one-to-one?
Generally groups and teams.
Right.
Of course, we can do one-to-ones, especially with management, if they need to. Mm-hmm. As I said, it's really tailor-made.
Mm. Excellent. Right, well, time for another bit of music, and we'll be back after this.
But when the
Channel Radio. Welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio. During the break, I posed the question to Angela and Florence of what was the difference between the terminology, sophrology, and mindfulness, and why might somebody be either attracted or put off by one word or the other. And you were both explaining to me that there is actually so much overlap.
Yes, what you were saying, there is. I mean, as I was saying, I mean, as far as mindfulness is concerned, Joan Kabat-Zinn in the early 80s started looking into yoga and meditation, etc., when Professor Casado in Spain, who created sophrology, started in the 60s looking at exactly the same thing. So, well, Casado before Kabat-Zinn, but basically following the same questioning: what is out there that can help us with our patients? And looking at the same, you know, yoga, meditation, Zen, all these techniques, and how can we adapt them for Western patients. Then they went on slightly different routes and techniques, but ever so slightly, to be honest. And to end up with the same kind of results, obviously. So we're looking at something that I think, and it comes from techniques are so old. I mean, we must be onto something.
It is. I mean, it's something you mentioned earlier, Florence, that it's, and these are the things we've mentioned on the show previously, with Pilates, with Elizabeth Rugg-Easy, when we talked to Mike with the back, the posture, and your thoughts, your physiology and your psychology, the whole link of mind and body connection. And so really, when you strip any of those techniques away out there, there is this element of we need to bring the mind back home to the body, and the body back home to the mind.
Absolutely.
And so it is, if we, as far as I'm concerned, this is my personal opinion, listener, that whatever technique you decide to use, as long as the end result is still bringing you back to the present and bringing yourself back to that connection with, so how is it for me right now in my body? If I am awake in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, and what technique's going to work for me
exactly
that can help me get back to sleep right now, because at this present moment, that's what the body really is after. I mean, there are elements where there's also my belief that you're awake, maybe the body has said that actually I'm rested and that's enough.
Yes, I mean, we could go into
what you're talking about
quite a lot there.
Actually, sort of worrying and the anxiety. Yeah, I think it's I love it. It's just the more that's out there that people think, oh, well, mindfulness, it still scares me, or sophrology, oh, I don't know.
Exactly. And there's that as well, because, well, people have to find what's right for them.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you will be more attracted by one or the other, depending of their history or circumstances. And yes, I mean, some people come to sophrology saying, oh, I'm not sure yoga is for me, or oh, I'm not sure mindfulness is for me for such and such reason, which, you know, maybe valid or not. I mean, I'm not judging at all, but that's a reason for coming, and fine, as long as they can find techniques that will actually help them.
That's right. Something that clicks with somebody.
So you've mentioned that you say that a sophrologist teaches.
Yes.
Who teaches the teachers?
And
that
I do.
Would be you. So you're offering the UK's first sophrology practitioner course.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
So it's in Kent.
Yay.
And see, isn't that exciting? It's not in London, it's in Kent.
It's
in Canterbury, exactly, that we have the academy. And so the academy is actually now, and that's news, it's very recent. 3 weeks ago, the academy was accepted in the very prestigious federation in France called FEPS, which is a federation for professional sophrology schools. We're only the 12th member to be accepted. It's really, really hard to get in. You have to really give very high standards of teaching of the technique, and that's why our training is recognised everywhere. So that's what I wanted to do.
Congratulations.
Yes, round of applause.
Well done. And you heard it on Who Cares Wins.
Yes.
So I wake up tomorrow and I think I want to become a sophrologist. How long is it going to take me? And dare I ask, how much is it going to cost me?
Of course you dare. It's going to take you 2 years.
Right. Full time?
Not at all. It's one weekend a month.
Okay.
Except for August. We don't work in August. We come from France. We stop everything in August.
And we're all on the motorway.
Yeah. So, yes, basically it's more or less 1 weekend a month for 2 years. It costs £3,000 per year, which can be, you know, spread over several months, etc. We have payment plans. What we want to do is to spread sophrology, so we don't want money to be in the way of of the training. So as I said, it's in Canterbury, and we have regularly open days or, you know, talks, etc. So you can come and see what it's like before you make a decision, obviously. And what else can I say?
So do you have to have, sorry, Jan, do you have to have a certain level of experience, practices that people would come to the training with? Or could it be, oh, I used to be... What did I used to be?
An accountant.
An accountant, yes. And lovely they are, Amanda, too, that I was speaking to at the tweet up this morning, accounts Amanda. But would they need any sort of baseline, I suppose,
no,
is the word?
No, not at all, not at all. If they come and try it and love it and say, this is what I want to do, it's not a problem. Obviously, we would, you know, talk to them, see what the motivation is, et cetera, et cetera. But there's no definite prerequisite. Usually people come with some kind of an experience of life, I would say. It's really rare to start that kind of training when you're 20.
Right.
But that's about it.
Right.
We have people coming to just change, to change life. Just wasn't too much there. Just like I did. I mean, I was, you know, I worked in the corporate world for 12 years. Did some accounting. Thank you, Angela.
See, I knew it was coming.
So I come from, you know, business management background, and I retrain and change professions. So many people do that. But we also have teachers. We also have people from the medical profession. We also have other therapists coming to have some more tools, sports people, etc., etc. So many different areas that can be covered.
So successful completion of the course gives one a qualification?
Absolutely, and as I said, that qualification, it's well, it's a sophrology practitioner diploma, and it's recognised both in the UK and on the continent.
And without a qualification, can I call myself a sophrologist?
You can't. That's right. Really important. You can't. Very
would
important.
They need to? Would they be on a sort of register, a database somewhere that I could like look them up, check them out?
Well, you can check out. I mean, for instance, on our website, we have a list of people who actually have their diploma through us.
And that website is
www.sophroacademy.co.uk.
Okay, that will be on the Facebook page, folks.
Yes. Yeah. So, in case you can't spell sophro. And also, once, now that we are part of the FEPS, it's about to start once people have their new super diploma, they will actually be listed on the FEPS website, so people can check that they are actually properly accredited. Yes. We are also accredited by two English complementary therapy associations, CMA and ICNM, so that people can check there, you know, whether people are legitimate or not.
Excellent.
Okay, good. And how, going back to the training, just for my interest, I'm a bit of a course junkie, so I do like the old
So we're going to see Angela in September,
yes,
I think.
I think you are. Itching on the end of my chair. And so it's a weekend for 2 years.
Yes.
But apart from August.
Yes.
I can have a holiday.
You can have a holiday.
What else happens? Is there some, do they then, after that, do they have to then go out and be assessed, trained, supervised, mentored?
Very, very good question. Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.
During, well, during the whole of the course, you get some group practice. I mean, as people come from far away, because we are the only school in England, we tend to put that during the weekend. And then in the second year, you have to do what we call an internship. You have to guide a group of your choice for 12 hours of sophrology. And it can be anything. It can be going into a gym. It can be a group of friends. It can be, you know, that you are working in a company and it's actually people at your company. It can be anything, but you have to get that experience. You have to do some case studies, and you take a little exam. See, a written exam is not too big, just to check on fundamentals.
Anyway, they'll have no stress now, will they?
Exactly. They're absolutely well prepared for exams. And finally, after the internship, they write an internship report and present it in front of a small jury of sophrologists.
Fantastic. Mm. So it's, you know, as you say, a very sort of rigid procedures.
It's very, very specific.
Therefore, very valid. Yes. That they should be listed somewhere.
Yes, it's a very specific that we're sure they are ready. I mean, it's basically, we want to make sure they are ready to do their job properly.
Mm. Okay. Mm. One quick question before we go to the next break. It's probably not a quick question.
Time's whizzing, isn't
You've
it?
You've written a book.
I have written a book.
Tell us about your book.
It's called Instant Serenity for Life and Work. An introduction to sophrology. Basically, what I wanted to do, because there was no book on sophrology in English, there's thousands in French and some in Spanish, but there was none in English. So it is an introduction to what sophrology is, but it's really for the general public. So it's also giving a lot of tips and ideas on how to feel better at work and feel better in your everyday life. And you can find it on Amazon.
Yay, well done.
It's paperback and Kindle.
Exactly, Kindle on all the Amazon websites, and paperback, for the time being, you can only find it on Amazon.com.
Right.
Very soon it will be on .co.uk, but we're getting there.
Excellent.
Oh, good.
So again, that book title and the sources will be on Facebook.
Oh, and you haven't got one in your bag here today. We could
I didn't take it.
Page.
Yeah.
Got to get your marketing.
Have to get an autograph later.
Yes, yeah, we'll get it later. Here's the next track, folks.
Dream when you're feeling blue. Dream, that's the thing to do. Just watch the smoke rings rise in the air. You'll find your share of memories there. So when the day is through, dream, and they might come true. Think never are as bad as they seem. So dream, dream, dream. dream when the day is through. Dream and they might come true. For things are never all as bad as they seem. So dream, dream,
Welcome back. Hope you're all suitably relaxed after that.
Dream away. And that visualisation, visualisation, you know, memories. And again, and that quote he says in there, things are never as bad as they seem.
Absolutely.
Unless you're Jan, as under your sister.
They're always worse. Never mind, that's my cynical view. Okay. So we've had a wonderful afternoon talking to Florence. Thank you for coming in to see us. If people want to get in contact with you, you've given out the website. Is that the best place for people to start looking? Or
yes.
Do you have an email or a phone number that you'd prefer people to get?
Well, the website is probably the best place to start looking, but they can definitely email us at contact@sophroacademy.co.uk.
Okay.
We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn. So,
All else fails, they can do a web search and find you.
We've had a tweet from Mike at Relax Back UK. Hello, Mike. Glad to hear from you. And he says, hi guys.
Yes.
Ladies, please. Just tuned in, googled sophrology as he hadn't heard of it before.
Of course.
There we go.
So there you
are. Got a convert straight away.
Go and look at Florence's website.
So we're now into the event stage of our afternoon. And actually, Florence has two events herself coming up. The first one is this month on June 29th in Canterbury. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That's a two-hour open session, so it's free, from 2.30 to 4.30 at the Academy, and it's mainly aimed at people who want to do the course but not sure what it is and, you know, want to experience a little bit of sophrology. So that's basically what we'll do, present sophrology and do some exercises.
Excellent. So that they can find on your website.
Absolutely.
And then jumping ahead to July, July the 4th in London at the Beehive.
That's a good day. July the 4th.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
Easy to remember.
And the Beehive, just to clarify, that's the letter B, Hive.
Yeah, Lynn Franks.
That's
the networking, you can rent space up there as well,
yes,
can't you? Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll be giving a talk there, explaining sophrology and giving some little practical exercises, especially for stress.
And that's free as well?
And that's free as well.
Excellent. So two great free events on sophrology there. If you're interested in the first one in Canterbury, it's going to be Florence's website. And if you're introduced... teeth going
it's
again.
It's time of day.
It's time of day. It gets to almost 4 o'clock and my teeth want to go elsewhere.
She gets so excited listening.
So July the 4th in London, if you're introduced...
Again, say it again.
Interested in that, please search for Beehive.
Beehiveclub.com and all the events with Beehive and Lynn Franks are listed.
Excellent. So some other events we've got for you. Did you know that this week, the 10th to the 16th of June, is Carers Week? The website is www.carersweek, that's a one word, .org. And if you visit that site, there are lots of events going on around the country and you'll be able to find events and news for carers in your area. Second one?
I have, talking about mindfulness, Louise and Caroline, the founding directors of Mindfulness at Work Limited, they have now started what's called an after work club. And so if anyone is in London or perhaps is up in London and would like to go, it's 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock, and the first visit is free. And so the first next event is the 11th of June, so that's tomorrow night, and it's at the Hub in Westminster, New Zealand House, just down from Piccadilly Circus. And it's to take a deeper dive into mindfulness and to hear Kate Cook, if anyone knows of Kate Cook. She is the author of the Corporate Wellness Bible, who I'm encouraging to come on the show to talk about.
Good. We mentioned last week that the 14th, 15th is the Autism Show at the Excel Centre London this month, but also on the 28th and 29th in Manchester at Event City, there's also the Autism Show. So whether you're in the north or the south, there's a chance to attend the event there.
Up north. Oh,
she's off again. Okay. And again, we have mentioned this, but the date's fast coming up upon us, folks. On the 23rd of June, Pilgrims Hospice Divas on Wheels,
yes.
Cycle ride exclusively for women in aid of Pilgrims Hospice.
Bicycle,
so you can cycle either 25 miles or 50 miles, or you can sponsor someone. You don't have to do the ride yourself, but get involved. Contact Pilgrims Hospice on 01227 812 621, and that number and the details will be on Facebook after the show. And then Angela's event. It's Angela's Spotlight on Angela.
Sponsorship. Yes.
Well, Herne Bay Race for Life.
It could be alternately another way of come on down to meet the Who Cares Wins presenters. Have a laugh at Angela, who will be
running in pink.
Race for Life and will be in pink. And also come and meet my wonderful encouragers. Both Sue and Jan will be there as well. So it's Herne Bay, Hampton Pier, 30th of June, Sunday, 11 o'clock. I'll be there.
If it's raining, we might be hiding somewhere and watching Angela from the safety of a car. The car won't be pink, but we'll let you know where we are.
Yeah, if you can sponsor us, it will be absolutely fantastic. We're trying to raise, between all of us, my colleagues at Angelo's Deli in Westgate, we're trying to raise up to £500 for cancer research. So we've
Very
got a web
cause.
Link on Facebook, raceforlifesponsorme.org/Angelo's Angels, would you believe? I'm going to be an angel for the day.
Mm-hmm. Pink angel.
Absolutely. And then our last event, what we're promoting today?
One of the other ones, actually, I started resurrected my yoga last week and my more formal practices. And I went along to Lucia's practice in Ramsgate. I don't know if you know Lucia, from More Than Yoga. And one of the things that she's doing on the 30th of June, unfortunately, if you can't get to come along and shout at me to run faster, run, Forest, run, then by all means, I'll let you off if you sponsor me. And you can go along to Lucia's workshop, Moving from Stillness, and it's a yoga workshop with both Lucia and Annetta, 30th of June, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Experience the yin and the yang of yoga. There are strong sequences followed by deep stretches. There's some breath work, and then at the end, a refreshing drink. £12 per person. Booking is required because she has limited spaces, and we will put the email, text or phone numbers up, but morethanyoga.co.uk is their website.
Excellent. So lots of things to do there, and we've got many more we haven't had time for.
I know,
we'll put
time.
As many of them as we can onto Facebook.
We will.
And our other sources.
We will.
Thank you again very much to Florence for being with us today.
It was my pleasure.
Excellent.
Now, lovely to have you.
At this point, we normally go to Sue for
yes.
an inspirational thought. So in Sue's absence, we have two today.
We worked hard, Sue.
We did homework on your behalf. So my offer of inspirational insight for the week, and I've actually borrowed this, didn't do a lot of research. I spotted it on Wendy Watson's Facebook page.
Hello, Wendy.
And it's by Maya Angelou, and it says, "Be a rainbow in someone else's cloud."
Aww.
And
that
Angela's
and I found it was actually I was doing my MIM train the trainer at the weekend to become one of their mindfulness at work trainers, and we had a quote at the end of our training from a guy called Joseph Campbell, who wrote a book called The Hero Journey, which I've not found yet, but I probably will be another book in my list to read. And he said, "Where you stumble, there your treasure lies." So hey,
wow.
We need to we only
learn
by that feedback, which we often label as failure.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Excellent.
Have a great week.
Have a great week, everybody. And we look forward to seeing you next Monday.
Take care, everyone.
Take care. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
time, I don't know why.